We have a wonderful crowd with us this morning, and we're so grateful for your presence today. We're thankful for everyone who has come our way today, especially those of you who have visited with us. We're very grateful that you are here this morning. And we invite you at this time to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be reading in verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 through 11. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. These verses that we have read are commonly referred to as the Beatitudes. And this is the beginning of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. In these Beatitudes, we see the character of those who would be part of God's kingdom. And as we look at each Beatitude, we see something special. We see, first of all, a declaration of blessing. Blessed are, fill in the blank here. And then we see the description or the attitude. So the meek or the poor in spirit or those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then we see the disposition of blessing. That is what they will be blessed with for being the attitude that Jesus discusses. And that is that they will see God or they will be filled or they will inherit the earth. These Beatitudes are wonderful. And they teach us what kind of character that we need to be within our lives. And so as we think about the Beatitudes this morning, we're going to move on to the third one, and that is, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And as we think about this, we want to look at three questions. First of all, who are the meek? Secondly, how shall they inherit the earth? And then finally, what are some practical applications for understanding this Beatitude? As we study through this, I hope that each one will be able to understand the answer to these questions and that we would seek more meekness within our lives so that we can have that blessed attitude that Jesus wants us to have, so that we can be of the character that He wants us to be, and that would be fit for the kingdom of God. First of all, who are the meek? Blessed are the meek. Who are the meek? The word meek does not necessarily mean weak. Of course, many in our society today kind of equate those two things. But as we think about the word meek, the word originally was used to mean a gentle, mild, kind spirit. That is, it was the opposite of wrath or anger. As a Christian aspect of character, we see the word includes humility, equanimity, and kindness toward others. It is a word that when a person possesses meekness, he has a certain composure, even under the most grueling of circumstances. As a Christian, meekness is more of an inward attitude than an outward attitude. Daniel Webster says, when defining the word meek, quote, mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries. The commentator Albert Barnes says this, meekness is patience in the reception of injuries. It is neither meanness nor surrender of our rights nor cowardice, but is the opposite of sudden anger, of malice, of long-harbored vengeance. And Charles Wesley said this, "They that hold all the passions and affections evenly well balanced." That is what meekness is. And so those who are meek are those who are gentle and kind and humble. They are composed. They are slow to anger. And they are well balanced in their attitude and in their lives. We need to be people who are seeking to be meek. When we look at some examples of meekness in the Bible, first of all, we see Abraham. He displayed such a meek attitude when his servants and Lot's servants were striving with one another for grazing rights in certain places. In fact, Abraham came to Lot and he said this in Genesis 13 and verse 8. He says, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren." His attitude was that Lot was his friend, that Lot was his brother, that Lot was his kinsman, and that he was not going to have a relationship that was characterized by strife and meanness and anger and hurt. Instead, he was meek. And he said to Lot, "You choose where you would like to water your flocks and water and feed your herds. You choose, and then I will take the other land." Moses was a man who was called the meekest man on earth in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. And that was in a circumstance in which those were challenging his authority. And he humbly submitted himself to God when such took place. Paul was meek with those with whom he worked. We read about his attitude in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7 among those Christians at Thessalonica. He said, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children." So if you can think about a nurse, one who is taking care of little children, that's the idea of meekness. And that's what God wants us to have within our life as we deal with others. Of course, Jesus was characteristically meek. In Isaiah 53 and verse 7, it was prophesied that he would be a meek man. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He took all of the situations that were placed upon him with great composure, without wrath and without anger. And he was patient under trials. Jesus tells us to come to him because he is meek and lowly in heart. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. And Peter describes Jesus' actions like this. "Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23. So what is characteristic of those who are meek? Well, first of all, we see that the meek will be saved from judgment. Psalm 76 and verse 9, that God is going to save all the meek of the earth. We see that they will be exalted by God. Psalm 147 and verse 6, the Lord lifts up the meek. We see that God guides them and teaches them. Psalm 25 and verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. God beautifies them with salvation. Psalm 149 and verse 4, he will beautify the meek with salvation, and they rejoice in God and in his Holy One. Isaiah 29 and verse 19. So a meek person is a person who has a certain attitude of composure and kindness and patience and love for others. And God really does appreciate this attitude. And God is really going to help those who are meek. And so blessed are the meek. And what a wonderful blessing it is then that we understand that the meek shall inherit the earth. You know, this idea that the meek shall inherit the earth comes from Psalm 37 and verse 11, which says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." What does this mean? And this is our second question this morning. What does this mean that the meek shall inherit the earth? Well, some believe that this is a symbolic expression referring to all of God's promises. They say it goes back to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 7, when God said to Abraham, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." And since that land was inherited by the people of Israel, they suggest that its later usage refers symbolically to all of God's promises. Psalm 25 and verses 12 through 13 may indicate this. "What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed," listen, "shall inherit the earth." Well, the psalmist means there that that person is going to receive the great promises that God has in store for him. In Psalm 37, verse 9, we read, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And in Psalm 37, verse 22, we read, "For such as he blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off." So some believe it's a symbolic expression referring to all of God's promises, and that it is blessedness in inheriting those promises that God has made. On the other hand, there are those who believe that this refers to all the blessings and good things in this life. The blessings and good things in this life. And they will look at passages such as Mark chapter 10 and verses 29 and 30. We read there, "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren, sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Think about Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." In this regard, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21, that all things are yours. And as far as inheriting the earth is concerned, there are those who believe that this refers to all of the blessings of life that may come our way. Well, some suggest that this has reference to the new heaven and the new earth that both Peter and John speak of in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 and Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. But Jesus doesn't really say anything about a new earth here in this particular passage. And the quotation from the psalm is too much of a coincidence for it to refer to something else. And so I believe that what Jesus is talking about here is what was being said in Psalm 37 and verse 11. And it appears to be the physical blessings that God gives to those who display his holy attitudes in his life. That is, for the meek of the earth, the world is their oyster, so to speak. The things are there for them to receive because of the great attitude that they have in being meek. Now, there doesn't seem to be a lack of spiritual blessings, however, for those who are meek. They certainly receive spiritual blessings as well. In displaying their unique attitude, they are often the recipients of great and wonderful gifts from those around them. And there seems to be a very unique relationship then between being meek and being physically blessed. And so the meek shall inherit the earth because all the things that are within it will become theirs by virtue of their great and noble attitude of being meek. Now, what are some practical lessons that we can learn from this beatitude? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. First of all, meekness is required in our relationship with God. God wants us to be meek people, a humble people, a people who are willing to listen, who are willing to be taught, who are willing to change our lives so that we can be what God wants us to be. In Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3, the prophet says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." God considers the qualities of being meek precious to him. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, Peter writes, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." That meek and quiet spirit, God loves that. That's something that's a very great price to him. It's costly. It's precious. He wants us to be meek. When we read in James chapter 1 and verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls," we learn that there, in order to receive God's word into our lives, we need to be a meek people. That is, a people who are humble and willing to listen to what God says and to walk with God, to humbly walk with him. We need to have meekness in our life. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, that we are to walk in all lowliness and meekness. So meekness is required in our relationship with God. Secondly, meekness is required when we teach others the gospel. You know, it's hard to communicate with someone when they are angry. It's hard to communicate with someone when they're being stubborn. It's hard to communicate with someone when they're not listening. And those are all characteristics that meek people don't have. Meek people are kind. Meek people listen. Meek people communicate well. And so they are good teachers and preachers of the gospel. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear." With meekness and fear, with humility, with kindness, with understanding of who we're talking to. Meekness is necessary to talk to others about the gospel. Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest you also be tempted." The spirit of meekness. So when we're going to help someone find their way back to Christ, it's not a situation that calls for judgmental attitudes. It's not a situation that calls for dominance. It's not a situation that calls for harshness, but rather meekness, humility, love, patience, forbearance. That's necessary when restoring the erring. Those who are going to be gospel preachers must be meek of spirit. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." And so those who would stand before others and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ need to have a meek spirit, one who is going to be patient, kind, loving, and who is going to be forbearing. Meekness is required in our relationship with others. In Titus chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, we read, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready unto every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." We are all supposed to be meek, and we're supposed to show all meekness to all men. That's the kind of attitude that God wants us to have as we approach others in this life. Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." There is what it means to be meek, having that lowly mind and esteeming others better than self. Meekness is also required for our own personal benefit. Meekness is necessary to behave wisely, for example. In James chapter 3 and verse 13, James says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out his good manner of living, his works, with meekness of wisdom." Meekness of wisdom. Meekness is part of the fruit of the Spirit of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So what are some practical applications we learn? First of all, meekness is required in our relationship with God. Second, meekness is required when we teach others the gospel. Third, meekness is required in our relationship with others. And finally, meekness is required on our own personal level for our own personal benefit. And if we will be meek and understand what meekness is, God will bless us with so many great things, both physically and spiritually, and we will have just a wonderful, wonderful situation. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's take that lesson that Jesus has to teach us this hour into our hearts, into our lives, put it into practice each and every day so that we can follow Him in living our life for God each and every hour. Do you need to give your life to the Lord this morning? Be meek. Humbly submit yourself to His will, to His word. Listen to it. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins. For this is the path that Jesus has given us to follow Him in obedience. Would you become a Christian this morning by doing those very things? We stand ready to help you in that regard. If you're a Christian, but you haven't been living faithfully and you need to repent, then the opportunity for you to do so this morning stands before you. Be meek. Be humble. Come to Jesus today and give Him your life. Won't you come while we stand and sing?